Hi everyone, good morning. I know last week I got a bit too excited and didn't give you enough time to open your Bible, so I'll give you a minute to do that before I start reading. Or you can follow on screen as well. Everyone ready? Okay. So this is a reading. The passage for today is 1 Timothy chapter 4. The Spirit clearly says that in the later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good. And nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things. Ooh. Holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in faith. Sorry, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders lay their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters, give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely, persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourselves and both yourself and your hearers. I'll now hand over to Pastor Tom.
Thank you for that. Hi, once again. I'm Pastor Tom. I'm the one of the youth pastors here. So it's been great. What, 6 months here? I'm still new. I'm still call myself new until we get someone new. So I'm gonna be new for, yeah, whenever. So let's bow our heads. Tell me, Father, we come to you humbly, receiving your words. I pray so I can preach faithfully and we can hear your words, and not just hearing it, but act on it. So I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I have seen and heard some strange teachings in my life. Let me tell you some of them this morning. I knew a person who was in a growth group and started meeting with some females in her group. But what she started to do was tell these women wrong things about the Bible and was teaching how the Bible devalues women in our society. Some women left the group and joined her group and left the church. Another time, I had a person join the young workers group and call himself a believer. But he was challenging the growth group leader because he was older and the leader, and he thought he knew better than the leaders. Personally, I don't think he was clear with the gospel message. So we offered to sit with him and do a short course on the gospel, one-on-one with a staff member. And this is what he told me. I'm happy to do the course, but I don't want that person to teach me, particular person. I asked him, why? Why not that person? And this is what he told me softly. We Chinese people can't listen to a brown color person's teaching. I was so shocked. I was so mind blown by his comment. I had to call him out. I told him what he said I'm not going to stand for that. It's very insulting to my brother, who's a Sri Lankan. And what you said goes against the gospel's teaching. My Christian brother's teaching is no different to mine. It's the same gospel. And what you said is racist. So I said, no, I want him to teach you. You get what you get, and you don't get upset. But the most interesting and the saddest story was about a church overseas. The elders of the church had one day told the church member that had a revelation from God. So imagine Jeremy comes up and tells us this. I and the other elders of CCC are the new apostles who are sent to the world. The old apostles are great in the New Testament, and we still follow their teaching. But we have the new teaching from Jesus now, as the world has changed. The new teaching that we will trump the new teaching. The new teachings will trump the old apostles in the New Testament. So follow us, because we're in a new era. And sadly, many church members did follow them. Don't we see how bad doctrine, bad people, bad leaders leads to the false gospel teaching? And this is what It does echo back to chapter 1 in this letter, which is all about the gospel, that Christ has died on the cross for all mankind, even for Paul himself. It tells how he was converted by the gospel, and now for Timothy to be a faithful leader of the church. But in this verse, there was a clear warning that many will leave the faith. There's going to be false teachers or people believing what they want to believe, hearing what they want to hear, which are lies, which is not from the Spirit, but from the Satan himself in verse 2. What makes it worse is these people have led other peoples to abandon the faith, abandon the true gospel. In verse 3 to 5, Paul tells us it's over two important matters, marriage and eating certain foods, that the false teachers were spreading, which is not the true gospel. Marriage, these people were condemning people from doing, but it's most likely telling people not to enjoy life. And this group of people are called the Gnostics, which was around during that period. And this group of people believed that people or persons should be denied to enjoy of the flesh and to enjoy the thing and not to enjoy the things of this world. But Paul says, we need to remember marriage and food was created by God, and everything God had created is good, which is in verse 4. A man and woman getting married is created by God. And being married or being single, it's not a right or wrong thing. Marriage has its purpose, which was made so that human can reproduce and multiply to fill the earth. And that's in Adam and Eve. It was to have a family, to be mums and dads, to be aunties and uncles, even grandparents. So getting married is a good thing. But it also doesn't mean you have to be married. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, starting from verse 8, he also says it's okay not to be married and remain single, as Paul was. Being single, Paul can focus more on God's kingdom's work. And I know some of the greatest people who are single and are doing great work in God's kingdom today. But it's the same for food. Some people are teaching people not to eat certain food. Are these people vegan in stopping people from eating meat as you're hurting animals and the environment? Once again, I'm not bagging vegan. I was once a vegan myself. But Paul is saying you should eat and enjoy the blessings that God has given everyone. So being a vegan, a meat lover, or no carb diet, it's not a wrong or a right thing. There's nothing to fight about. It's a personal choice. If you want to eat seafood all the time and just get gout. Basically, there's two things. These all two things are good and are created by God for human to enjoy. And he made them for us and wants us to enjoy these gifts that he's given us. And in fact, he tells us not to reject these good things and be thankful to him. But what we read is that certain people are denying others and saying it's a bad thing, which is denying the truth because it's all from God. Everything's from God. Once again, bad doctrine leads to false teaching, which is not the gospel at all. So we need to hold firm to God's word. This means having good doctrine and good teaching. And Paul also strongly advised Timothy that having good doctrine shouldn't just stop there. It's the start. Then Paul addressed Timothy. He gives advice on his life and his personal qualities as a leader. And this leads to my next point. And before I continue my second point, it's important to look at the structure of the book. So in the past couple of weeks, you might notice a pipeline forming. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, it talks about teaching the good news and how Paul came across it. The second part, in chapter 2, he addresses about men and women in the church, addresses order in the church. And in chapter 3, he addresses the overseers and deacons in the church, leaders of the church. And now he addresses Timothy as a leader. And Timothy has been ordained minister in the Ephesian church in chapter 4, verse 14. It's like a leadership pipeline where Tim is the captain of the sheep, the top dog. And he becomes very personal. It's like a personal letter, the master talking to apprentice. And if you like Star Wars, it's like Obi-Wan talking to Anakin Skywalker. Probably not the best analogy because Anakin becomes bad. So maybe like Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan. Okay. But let's have a look at chapter 4, verse 6 to 10. Timothy, you are a minister of Jesus Christ in verse 6. And you are to teach the truth of the church. You are doing well, but you need to continue doing this and always remain focused. Why is that? Because you need to guard yourself against the false teachers and you need to train yourself in godliness in verse 7 and 8. Always focus on Christ who has given us hope. Always focus on Christ who has given us hope. In verse 10. And we know physical training is important as it helps us to be healthy, keep fit. It does reduce our heart attacks and illness. So it's a good thing to do. But we are told what's more important, which is godliness. Paul addressed to Timothy is about his godliness, which is important throughout his life. Don't get caught up in Goliath Smith and old wife tales and stories. Basically, don't get caught up on gossips, which destroys one another and even the church. Don't get involved in useless arguments that goes around circles and circles. And we all know a person just always seems to get into an argument in the heated debates. She's always there, or he's always there. But Paul tells Timothy to stay on focus. Focus on teaching of the gospel and your godliness. Not just teach bits of the gospel, or worse, teaching what people want to hear and not teaching the truth. Timothy was to teach and preach the whole gospel because that's what he was trained to do. It's all up to Timothy. He has a tool for it. And Paul has role modeled it to him. But now it's his responsibility to do it, Timothy. And with this, Paul encourages Timothy in verse 11 to 14 to use your gift which God has given to him, and don't think because he's young and he can't teach the gospel. But in the middle of verse 12, this is what Paul says: but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and purity. To set an example on his action. To set an example how he speaks. To set an example how he conducts himself with others. Basically, Paul was saying to Timothy, always keep your focus on the gospel and protect your sheep from false teachers, as these things are very important. But also, look at your own personal life. Look and guard your own personal life. Personal godliness is so important, especially when you're by yourself, when people can't see him. Now, this is so true, what Paul tells Timothy. William Hybels, or you might know him, knowing him as Bill Hybels, he was the founder and the senior pastor of Widows Creek Community Church in America. Even giving Sundays, it was filled and packed with 24,000 people every Sunday. 24,000 people every Sunday. But in 2018, he had to step down, or he had to retire, because some members had accused him of sexual misconduct. A great speaker, has great leadership skills, great governance in the church, but falls short from grace because of his godliness, his character. His character misconduct to the opposite sex. Remember what Reverend Winston preached last week? The importance of one's character. Personally, think about it. People that you might know, people who once spoke in big Christian conferences, teaching and preaching God's word to thousands and thousands of people, but personally fell short because of godliness. But now it's not an believer. I personally know many brothers and sisters who once at Bible college, leaders of the church and growth group leaders, but have fallen short in their personal godliness. I've known people who abandoned their faith to marry a non-Christian. Another person, which I knew, went to Bible college, but now practices witchcraft. And who once was a minister, but got expelled by the denomination. And even people got caught on the wrong side of the law. All of them no longer goes to church, abandon their walk with Christ because of godliness. Think about a person, who do you know who once went to church and sat next to you, who was in your growth group. He used to be with you in Sunday school, but now it's not here. Has left the church completely, doesn't go to any other church. Who thinks that Jesus is all garbage to them now? A lot of people left the church, not because of bad preaching or because the church welcoming is not great at welcoming. It's because of personal godliness. Being a Christian, it's not just knowledge. It's also about one's character. Doctrine and action comes hand to hand. You can't separate doctrine and life. Knowledge of God's words and your life, your character, comes hand to hand. Both are important. Because having good doctrine and looking at your godliness also influence others around you. And that's a good shepherd. This comes to my last point of the sermon, that good doctrine will save God's people. Timothy was to look at his doctrine of the gospel and to teach himself before preaching to others. But he was also told to practice what he preaches. In verse 15, Timothy was told to immerse himself in these matters. Paul strongly encouraged Timothy to give time, his soul, and his life into this matter. If Timothy was to do anything, it was his progress of his godliness that Paul wanted for him to be a godly shepherd. It's like a nagging parent telling the kids to go to sleep, or a child begging for the parents to buy candy for them at a candy store. But this is the reason. Paul was doing this, not just for Timothy's sake, which it was, but because of what we read in verse 16. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. You will save both yourself and your hearers. Timothy was to guard himself and preaching and godliness so that others are saved. And of course, it's not Timothy who saves him. It's God who does. But it's the gospel which he was to preach faithfully. What Timothy teaches should also affect his life, and this will influence his ministry to others. The gospel he preaches and how he conducts himself is the truth which brings glory to God. This is the thing. What Paul is asking Timothy is no different from what Paul himself was doing. Let's have a quick look at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting from verse 31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. Paul did everything so that others may be saved by the gospel. Bring all things to all men. So the gospel is preached and taught. He was flogged. He was put into prison so many times for preaching the gospel so that people may be saved. Paul served others and laid down his life for the gospel. And the reason he's doing this is in the next chapter, chapter 11, verse 1. And this is what he says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. So what Paul is asking Timothy is to follow his example, because that is what Christ has done. In Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 45, is what he says. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and gave his life as a ransom for many. Christ died on the cross so that we are made right with God. He was perfect, but he took our place for our punishment. And he came to show us the way. A king who served others, washing the feet of the apostles. A king who died for us so that we may be saved and be right with God. Paul knew his task and asked Timothy to also do this task. And today, our task is no different. Our task as a church is to proclaim the gospel and to save others. And we do this for the glory of God. Our task is to know the gospel, the scriptures, and to live it out. Our task is to let our family members to get to know God, know Christ. How great is it to have a relationship with God? It's more important than anything in this world. Our task is to let our school friends, our uni mates, know that our identity is with Christ, not our studies. Our task is to let our work colleagues know there's a bigger purpose than work and earning money, as the bigger purpose is to know God's purpose for us. Church, Paul told us that our godliness and the way we live and act help others to see our characters, so people can see our character. And that means to be a good witness, to show the world why the gospel is so important to them. As much as pastors, elders, and deacons and deaconess, leaders in ministry need to practice what we teach at church or in the church, we're reminded last week, as pastors and elders, we need prayer. Pray for the pastoral team in CCC, and not just for the English, for the Mandarin, Cantonese, all our elders and deaconess. Pray for us that we'll all do what we do is for the kingdom of God. That we continue to teach ourselves the truth of the gospel and help us focus on our godliness. This leads to a healthy church that preaches and teaches the gospel to his people, which brings glory to God. And finally, we are to encourage each other and to spur each other to live a life of godliness as we meet with one another. Maybe it's a good reason to go to growth group, even our house party coming up. Because when was the last time you rebuke a brother or sister in Christ who's living an ungodly life? When was the last time you confronted a brother and sister who was heading the wrong path because of ungodly behavior? Yes, it's hard. It's hard to confront someone. You might not even like conflict. It's hard, very hard. But you need to remember what is better. What's the most loving thing to do? Let us lie or speak out the truth. Let them sin and continue ungodly behavior, and one day maybe abandon their faith. Or speak with love and help them to seek the truth of the gospel. What will you choose? What will the brother and sister in Christ should do? What is the most loving thing to do? Let's pray. Dear God, let us be a church that cares for one another in our doctrine, in our life, in our actions. Speak the truth and love and sharpen one another's godliness so that you may be glorified. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So